So all week long, I guess I got to turn on my mic, hadn't I? All week long, I have been trying to figure out the order of the post-resurrection events. I've been looking at all the different things. I mean, we kind of know what happened on that day with the women going to the tomb and seeing the rock rolled away and some of the appearances that happened and Peter and John running to the tomb. We kind of know the events of that day with the road to Emmaus and the guys coming back and telling them, hey, he's risen. We kind of know the events of the day where Jesus appeared before the disciples in the locked room and showed them. And we know that Thomas wasn't there. And we know some of those events, especially that day. But do you realize that Jesus appeared and presented himself for about a period of 40 days. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it says this: after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So Jesus appeared for a period of 40 days. 40 days is kind of like an important thing in the Bible. I'm not going to go into that. But here it is again, that whole 40-day period, Jesus appeared to the disciples. But not only did he appear to the disciples, if you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul's explaining a little bit more about this. So he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 says, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By the gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain. Verse 3, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of other brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me, talking Paul, also as to one abnormally born. So I read that and I start trying to look through the scriptures of like the exact order, how things exactly happened and all these different appearances. And I'll just tell you right out flat, I couldn't figure it out. I could not figure out the exact order of all these different things, because you have the time in John where he appeared to the disciples and the disciples were out in the boat and they were fishing. Remember that? And he came along in the morning and says, hey, have you caught any fish? And they said, no. He says, cast your nets on the other side. And they cast them on the other side, literally on the other side of the boat. And all of a sudden their nets were so full that they couldn't pull them in. Remember that story? I'm not exactly sure exactly on which day that happened. And some of the other things, I don't know. But I do know something happened. Something happened during that 40-day period in which Jesus was appearing, and then I don't know where he went. Something happened during those days. Now, I imagine when Jesus appeared and he was standing before them and he's eating the fish with them, or when he's saying, hey, look at my hands, look at my side, when he was revealing himself to them, I'm sure there was great excitement. I'm sure they're like, man, pumped up, and they were excited that Jesus was alive. But then when he would disappear or wherever he'd go, I don't know how long it took, but it seemed like there was like a mountaintop experience, and then kind of it start to gradually start to go down in their excitement and their excitement about Jesus being there. Because literally Peter and the other disciples, they went back to fishing. They started going back to their regular lives. And it kind of reminds me a lot of us in a lot of ways. Now, I'm not like Paul. You know, I didn't have a face-to-face Jesus experience. But the same thing happens in my life, and I see the same things happening in the life of the church and a lot of the people in the church. Every once in a while, we have these experiences which we know that Jesus is involved in. We know he's there, and something absolutely amazing has happened, and we have this mountaintop experience. And those are great. Those are fantastic. But we also, if we're honest with ourselves, real honest, we also recognize even after those experiences, very shortly after, it seems like something happens that challenges our faith, or something happens that doesn't seem to be going the way that we want it to go, or all kinds of different things. Or maybe it's just the everyday life kind of starts to get in the way, and we got to go to work, and we got the people that we work with, and all of a sudden things start to kind of wane just a little bit, and our excitement starts to go away, and we're not necessarily doing the things that we should be doing or really want to be doing. And it happens all the time. We start getting a little bit tired in our faith. And that's okay. It happens. It's going to happen. I wish I could say that I've got a solution for that and we can fix that right here and now, but I can't. But something did happen after Jesus had appeared for 40 days. He told his disciples, he says, I want you to wait. I want you to wait just a little while. He says, do not leave Jerusalem. This is in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Okay? He says, wait for the gift that you're going to get. Just wait for it. He says, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then you go on, it says, when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he says, it's not for you to know about the times and the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power. He comes back to the same thing. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking to the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the very same way you have seen him go into heaven. Very next verse, it says they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called Mount of Olives, because evidently that's where this happened, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. And when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. And those present were Peter, John, and James, and Andrew, and Philip, and Thomas, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and James, and of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, and the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. So in other passages, it says they met in the temple courts every day, praising God and worshiping him. But something happened just a few days later, exactly like Jesus said it was going to happen. And it wasn't an act of excitement, or it wasn't an act of energy. It was an act of the Holy Spirit. And something changed on that day. I wish I could explain all the ins and outs of it, and how it happened, and why it happened, and how it continues to happen even to today. But what happened on that day is 12 ordinary men, just like you, just like me, guys who haven't had great education. They were fishermen, and they were tax collectors, and they were just regular, ordinary guys, okay? And gals, because there were women among them right at this point in time too. There's regular people, and all of a sudden, their worlds were changed by one event that empowered them to start doing things that they didn't think they knew how to do or were capable of doing or beyond what their own abilities were able to do. So it happened because they were pushed out of their comfort zone by this thing called the Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to the very next chapter in Acts. In chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Something miraculous, something powerful, something memorable happened to them on that day. Now, I wish I had the ability to call down the fire. Woo! you know, get the fire coming. I wish I could create a memorable experience for you guys to realize that God is with you, that it's not your own abilities, your own knowledge, your own understanding, your own capabilities, but it's the Holy Spirit working through you. Because what happens after this happens, they start speaking in tongues. They start speaking in languages that they'd never learned how to speak before. As a matter of fact, they were speaking in dozens of different languages, and everyone who was gathered in Jerusalem was drawn to that event. And people were hearing each one of these disciples speaking in different languages in their own language so they could understand the gospel message. It was a miraculous, amazing thing, and they were empowered. You guys are all looking at me like, it was a cool thing. Amen. All right. It was a memorable moment in which they could continually remember back to recognize it wasn't their own power, but God working through them. They were pushed out of their comfort zone. I'm going to push you today out of your comfort zone. And it's going to be a memorable experience for you this morning, because I'm going to ask you to step out, to step away, to move. In order to do that, I've got the wind ready. I can't get the tongues of fire coming down, but I can give the sound of the wind, all right? So as soon as pain starts the sound of the wind, this is what I want everyone to do. And if you're a visitor here this morning, I'm just going to apologize in advance right now, okay? I apologize, and this is going to feel a little uncomfortable, but I want you to know, even if you're a visitor, my regular people who have been here for years and years, they're going to feel uncomfortable here, okay? And this is not by your own power that you're going to be doing this, but I'm going to be asking you to do something that's really going to shake your world, okay? It's going to happen. You're going to be like, oh, man, I don't think I can do this. Guess what? You can do this. Loretta, you can do this, all right? I'm going to shake your worlds here. Joe, you can do this. This is going to be hard, all right? I want everyone to stand up. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Here we go. Payne, can you get some music or some wind sound going for me? A little louder, Payne. We need some inspiration. A little louder. Okay, this is what I need you to do. I know this is scary. I know this is hard. But I want you to move from the place that you've been sitting for years and years and years. I want you to move to a different spot in the sanctuary right now. Take your husband, take your wife, take your kids with you, but I want you to move different. And I don't want this whole group to just move over here. I want you to mix it up a little bit. I want you to sit in a new seat, in a new spot. I want you to sit next to someone that you might not know. I want you to move just a little bit. I want you to find someone that you don't know who they are. And I want you to sit in a brand new... I know this is scary. I know it's freaking you out. I get it. Play the music. A little more wind, Payne. A little more wind. Come on now. He's blowing us around. Boy, you guys didn't move very far. That's all right, though. Keep moving. You can move from back to the front. I noticed no one's taking the front row where my high schoolers sit. There we go. All right, we got some new people coming up. This is good. This is good. All right. Oh, Joe. Come on, man. You got this. Haley's like, I don't think I can do this. You can do this, Haley. You can do it. Now, all you at home, you can start the music on your own. You can go around the table if you need to, whatever you need to do at home. Wow. Okay, thanks, Payne.
What are
you guys doing up there? Wow. There's always got to be one in every crowd. You know that, right? Two in every... Ken's like, it's not me, not me. All right, so what I want you to do, we're going to take this one step further, all right? One step further, just a little more uncomfortable. I just want you to turn around or to the person in front of you or behind you. I just want you to introduce yourself. Even if you've known each other for a long time, just say, hey, my name's whatever your name is. Fill in the blank. Just say hi. You can shake hands. Hey, how's it going? It's so good to see you guys this morning. God bless you. I love you. Good to see you guys again. Good to see you guys again. Okay. Let me look out here real quick. Let me look out. Did we lose anyone? Did we lose any? I mean, everyone take a big breath. I know it's a whole different location. Take a big breath. You made it. You did it. You know what? It's okay. God is good, and He is able. You see, sometimes we need to be shaken up a little bit. We need to step out of our comfort zone. We need to recognize that God is able to do things beyond our own abilities, own heart. You know, I've been here for how many years? 17, almost 18 years? I don't think I've ever asked you to sit in a different spot, and it's a little freaking me out just a little bit. Dean, I don't know if I can get used to you back there. So, yeah, I noticed you went from one side to the other. You're still in the back. It's good. And here's the thing. In the next couple weeks and the next couple months, God is going to call you to different places. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch you were talking about. He's going to call you into different places of your life. He's going to create new opportunities for you in the next couple weeks, in the next couple months. He wants to stretch you beyond your own ability into the places that you're depending on Him, on His knowledge, on His wisdom, on His abilities. And that's a good place to be, because you're starting to live not by the flesh, but if we start listening and living by the Spirit, and you'll find out what God is really capable of in your life on an everyday basis. This isn't an action just of a Sunday morning. This is a day-to-day experience that He wants us to have. And the reason I say that, and He can and He will do it, if we'll listen and we'll step out in faith, it's an amazing thing. Can I tell you just a couple quick stories? So this week, if you noticed, we've got some progress going on out and back on the rock. I'm so excited. I came in Monday night. I wasn't around on Monday, but I came in Monday night, and I noticed these strange guys in the back area, and I saw all these pieces of re-rod sticking up, and I came, and I was like, whoa, what's going on? I didn't realize something was going to be going on Monday, and I missed it, and they poured this concrete down in the bottom and stuck all this re-rod in and stuff, and I was asking them what that was, and they said, oh, that's just our grade, and now we got to build the walls. I said, when are you building the walls? They said, we're going to start tomorrow. I said, can I come help? And they're like, yeah, you can come help, whatever you want to do. So I showed up on Tuesday morning, and there's these two big trucks with all these forms sitting on these trucks like a big crane truck. And I was like, man, I don't know what I'm doing, but if I can help in some way, shape, yeah, sure, you can. There's four guys. Yeah, if you want to, that's fine. So I helped them unload all these forms off of the truck with this big crane. It just picks them up, and it moves them into different spots around the site and stuff like that. I thought, oh, that was pretty easy. And then they start breaking these bundles apart. And they started back in the southeast corner over here, and they put a corner together, and they started and I noticed they were grabbing these forms off and taking them over there and setting them up. I was like, well, what can I do? They said, well, you can move these forms. You can take these forms, and you can put them, just stay ahead of us. Keep the forms ahead of us so we don't have to walk back and forth, and we can just set forms. And I was like, yeah, no problem. So I walked over, and I grabbed these forms. They're only 4 foot high and 2 foot wide, but they're in bundles of two because you got one on one side and one on the other. You know what I'm saying? And I don't feel like I'm a weakling. I mean, you know, I handle it. And I grabbed those forms. I was like, whoo! And I picked it up, and I was like, oh, these are heavy. And so, and I don't know, what do they weigh, Ed? What, 60, 70 pounds, something like that? Ed, I have no idea where you're at anymore. Ed, oh, he's upstairs. Oh, that's what the stomping was all about. So, Ed, if they're 70 pounds, stomp 7 times.
Oh, my
God. 80. 80? They were heavy. So, listen to this. Okay, this is an honest goodness truth, all right? So, I moved about 7 of them, 7 pairs of them, okay? And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, this is hard. And literally, I went back over the pile, because the piles were up about like this, and I put my hand on the pile, because I told these guys I wanted to help. I was like, oh, yeah, strong back, weak mind. You know, I said, don't give me anything important to do, but anything, you know. And I'm serious. I put my hand in the pile, and I was like, Lord. I did. I said, Lord, I don't think I can do this. But I told these guys I wanted to help. I don't know that I can. I said, Lord, give me some strength here. Okay, so the building is 140 feet long. And it's 85, I think, feet wide. And they're 2-foot forms. So you do the math. We're talking 140 plus 85 is what? Someone, I said someone do the math because I can't do the math. Huh? 225 sets of forms going all the way around the building. That's a lot of pounds. Here's the thing. I want to make sure everyone understands. I'm not bragging. But I moved all but about 20 of those forms, and I was done by noon. Okay? No. That was him, because honest to goodness, I had to put my hand on that form because I was tired after 5 or 6 and prayed. You want a cool part about this? So I'm done by noon. I got the rest of the day. I'm helping doing other things. 7 o'clock on Tuesday is prayer time. And I'm walking into prayer time like this. I'm sitting down, and I asked the prayer team that was there that night. I said, would someone please pray for me that I can at least get out of bed tomorrow? I pray because tomorrow we're going to be pouring concrete. And I want to be able to help if I can. They prayed. I took 4 ibuprofen. I'm admitting it. I felt so good the next day. It was unbelievable. I had to do my regular popping and all my stuff before I got out of bed so I could. But I felt awesome on Wednesday. And I got to help you. Taylor's my witness. Did I do all this? Is this true?
Yeah, I was watching you while I was doing dishes from inside of the building.
Poured concrete.
And I did think, I was like, oh, he's going pretty good.
I kept up with 2 different crews. One crew was going one way and one crew was going the other. And I kept forms up for both sides, didn't I?
And
all the way around.
But the other men that were doing that work seemed quite a bit younger.
Yes, they were. They were 19 and 23, because I know that because on Thursday, when we got done with all the forms, they asked me, they said, how old are you? I said, guess. I'm not going to tell you what they guessed, because that was really embarrassing, but much older than what I am. So anyway, poured concrete. Thursday, we took down all the forms. Luckily, when you do that, you do one at a time rather than 2 at a time. I feel great. Look, I can still raise my arms. God is good. And he can do things through you if we ask. sometimes I think we forget. I think sometimes we run into obstacles, we run into challenges that are bigger than what we think we can do, what we're thinking, not even physically, but also emotionally, also in so many different ways. We run into challenges that we don't think we can do. But here's the thing, the God that we serve has in, no, what is the word I'm looking for? Infinite, that's good, that's a good word. Infinite power, infinite wisdom, infinite ability that he wants to pour in and through us. And it's not just in the physical realm. I just got to share this with you because so many times we think we can't. We can't. But in God's power, we can. If what we're doing is trying to do it to honor and glorify him, there is a possibility that God will use you to do incredible and amazing things. Every Sunday, woo, every Sunday I'm reminded of this. Every Sunday. Not only for myself, but I get to go home on Sunday afternoon and pull up Facebook and watch my son-in-law, Brian Gonnett, get up and preach a message that absolutely melts my heart every single week. Now, you got to understand something, all right? When Karina, my daughter, met Brian Gonnett, when they got married, I was very uncertain of this young man. I liked him, but I was very uncertain of him. He started coming to church. He was raised in the Catholic Church. He started coming here. He started growing in his faith. He started getting bold. He was on the board for just a little while. But what happened with my son-in-law, Brian, who is a police officer, that's what he went to school for. A police officer. What happened in his life was absolutely amazing because God called him, literally called him, to start a church in the Putnam County area, in his hometown, start a church. So he tried to find a pastor and tried to do different things and nothing worked out. And he felt God saying, I called you to start this church. So he started preaching. No training. No schooling. Scared to death. Completely unsure of himself. Wasn't sure how to do, what to do. Where I remember the first week of communion, he's like, can I do communion? As far as I know, you can. Do an amazing job. Now, you might be thinking, well, you know, he had speaking. No. If that doesn't convince you, so they didn't have a worship service. I mean, they'd play a button and the music would play out and they'd try to sing. There's like 8 or 10 of them. Brian thought, you know what? It'd be so cool if we had some live music. I need to go find someone that can play some live music, some guitar or something like that. Guess what? He couldn't find anyone. He bought a guitar. Never played an instrument in his entire life. Started playing guitar within a month. He's playing worship songs and leading singing in the church. I'm not bragging on Brian or Karina, and I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on the Holy Spirit, guys, because that's not possible without his intervention. And it's not special to me or to Brian or pastors. It's the same Holy Spirit that God wants to dwell in you, to empower you to go out of your comfort zone and to move you to new places and to encourage you to try new things and to step out in faith and serve him for his glory. And it all starts with Jesus. It all starts with him. Putting your faith in him. Trusting that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It all starts with repenting from our selfish lives and dying to ourselves in a watery grave and accepting Jesus' sacrifice for our sin. Being cleansed within so the Holy Spirit may not just come upon us, but the Holy Spirit may dwell in us and inspire and speak to us on a daily basis. To follow him, to step out for him, to trust him, and to serve him. so in the days and the weeks and the months to come, he's going to ask you to step out. You might not be asked by me or Nathan or Brent. Brett? Did I say Brent? I'm thinking about Brett. You need to listen to the Spirit that lives in you. I thought it would have been so cool. As a matter of fact, I was praying. It got to be a no at this point in time. It was a not later. I was thinking as we were tearing down and putting up and pouring concrete this week, I was thinking how cool it would have been if someone would have drove by and saw us and thought, those guys need cookies. I did. I was thinking it would be so cool if someone were to drive by and see us and say, those guys need cookies. And brought some cookies and maybe a little milk or some cake or a soda or some water. And I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you're driving by and you see a need, now whether it's here or in your community in some way, shape, or form, your next door neighbor, wouldn't it be awesome if we see the need and we hear the voice and we actually respond to it and live by faith and not by sight? Wouldn't it be awesome if we reached out just a little bit more and started hearing and responding and doing not for our glory, but pointing it to him? I'm not able, but he is. I'm not capable, but he is. I'm not smart enough, but he is. Because he is. And with his help, you are. Let's start living by his Spirit. Hearing his voice and responding. Let's stand and sing.